Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a singer, songwriter, violinist. Esther Ballant just released her latest album, Airless Midnight. She's touring the Midwest with a show tonight at The Hideout as part of SimFest. It's hard to put Ballant's music in a category, and I'm not sure that doing that would give her music justice. The haunting lyrics, the violin, the guitar, it almost makes for, I was thinking like a grungy cabaret. It's a very intimate music. The Hungarian-born, New York City-raised Ballant is also an accomplished actress, starring in Jim Jarmusch's Stranger Than Paradise, Woody Allen's Shadows and Fog, and just recently opposite Louis C.K. in the show Louis. She played Louis's Hungarian love interest and neighbor, Amya. Esther Ballant, welcome to The Download.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to meet you. The grungy cabaret, what's your response to that? Yeah. I mean, am I close?
I love juxtaposing two things like that that seem a little bit polar opposite, so I love that part. Cabaret for me is a term I have trouble with a little bit because certain things come to mind that
what comes to mind, like
sticky or
right.
But that may not be what you think of when you say cabaret.
No, I think smoky back room, smoky European, a little bit more intimate music.
Yeah, okay, that's appropriate.
Welcome to the cabaret. No, not that.
I think that the fact that you said it's hard to categorize, thank you for that. I appreciate that because I think that's accurate.
It has. I mean, it's a really – I really love the music. The new record's great.
Thank you so much.
It's a very I think haunting's the right word. It's a very – I don't want to say dark because it's also melodic and it's also it's very beautiful. But it has roots. It feels like in jazz music. It has roots in maybe a little bit more of a classical because of the violin. And it seems to have roots in rock and roll.
Definitely. And people have said folk and blues and some rootsy things in there. So it's a combination. And I think that haunting is a word I've heard a lot about my music in general, but this record in particular. And you know what term I've heard a lot about this record? Noir, film noir in music.
It feels like a soundtrack. Like it almost has this seems so stereotypical, but like a true detective feel to it, you know?
Hey, that's not bad. I'll take that.
You've had almost lived two lives. I mean, and the idea that I mentioned the credits you've had, and I didn't even mention Trees Lounge, which is a great movie.
But I love Trees Lounge.
But those were movies. After that time, you took some time off to essentially just do music. Why did you make that change?
I moved out to Los Angeles in 1989, 90, and I was sort of involved in the music, in the film business out there. And eventually, that environment, which is so focused on film business in a way that is not to my taste and liking, I just basically lost interest in the whole thing.
The idea of like always having to go audition and find a job.
The casting world, the breakdowns, the desperation. But I always tell people that also acting is something I sort of happened into, and I think I needed to find my way back to it in this way. Now I'd be really into doing it again, but at that time I think I had to kind of tackle something that I felt was really my own. Acting is also something that you're not in control of what you're doing. I think I was, at the risk of sounding pompous, a little bit too creative for just being told what to do in someone else's project. I had a certain drive to contribute to having something to say. I've always written words, and so.
And you find that in music.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
I'm fascinated with your background, your childhood, because you know you may have come onto acting or come onto music, but performance has always been a part
Absolutely.
Of your family's history. Talk about the early days of your family and the theater performances and troupe that they were in.
Yes. Well, I was born into that situation. My father was, and my mother to a lesser extent, but my father was absolutely devoted to the theater. From when I was a little kid in Hungary, I remember like making up little avant-garde performances of my own. And I'm saying avant-garde because they really were informed by that aesthetic of my dad and his friends and the people who would come over to our house. My grandfather was also an artist. He was a painter primarily, but he was also a poet and did a lot of other visual arts and a beautiful, amazing artist. So anyway, it was sort of in my blood.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, you know, I said at the beginning you're a singer-songwriter, but you're also a violinist. Mm-hmm. Where does that training come from? Where does your mastering of the violin come from?
Well, I'm not sure I'd call it mastering, but I play well within my means. Let's put it that way. So my mom, I think, suggested the violin. Actually, you know what? There's a kind of funny story that goes with that. So George Kortog was a family friend. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
He's become quite renowned. He's a great composer. And my mother's story is, I don't know if this is true, but I'll take her word for it, that she had wanted me to study the piano, and she took me to see him. And he was a family friend, really good friends with my grandfather. And he looked at my hands and he said, but she has violin playing hands. And so that's it. And I studied classical violin. I had a great teacher when I was a little kid who taught me some really good foundational principles. And then, like most kids who study an instrument at a young age, I totally flaked out, dropped it, stopped practicing. By age 15, I basically retired from my violin career because I didn't want to be a classical violinist.
Right. You don't see a lot of classically trained violinists make a move into more, I guess, rock and roll based, or you see it more in jazz, but to make a move into more, I guess, mainstream music. Why is that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. The classical world is a very insular world, and I had no desire or intention to pursue that world with the violin, which is why I quit. I had too many other interests, and it really became like a practical thing later when I transitioned back around into doing my own music, where I thought, well, this could serve, those years of torturous practice could now finally serve their purpose in this context.
We're talking with a musician, singer-songwriter, violinist, actress Esther Ballant. She's going to be at the Hideout tonight as part of SimFest. That show starts at 10:30?
10:15, I believe.
10:15, right in there. Yeah. That's a soft 10:15.
Yeah.
Esther, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, more about, I want to talk about Airless Midnight.
Great, thank you.
It's harder than I thought. It's harder than hell. It's harder than a rock. You know we don't want some. We're doing the best we know, best we can. Sometimes, babe, we're bored out of our skulls. That's tonight, tonight. That's just up to us.
That's the track, Let's Tonight It, off of Airless Midnight. It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. That's the artist Esther Ballant, who's in studio with me tonight. She's a singer, songwriter, violinist, actress. I mean, you were in Jim Jarmusch's Stranger Than Paradise, which is, what, like 20 years old?
Try 30.
30 plus years. I can get my years together.
Well, maybe not plus. Maybe it's
30.
Not quite 30,
right.
But it's close to 30, something like that.
I mean, 25 for Woody Allen's Shadows and Fog, and and then Trees Lounge, 20 years.
Really, Trees Lounge?
Yeah, because it was 1995, 96.
That doesn't seem 20 years ago, but okay, if you say so.
There's a great line in that movie that I've always loved, is where Steve Buscemi is sitting at the bar and he says, so you were in Korea? And he goes, what career?
You know what? I had accidentally caught that movie on, I think, IFC Channel at home just about a year ago. And I hadn't seen it in so long, so I decided to sit and watch it. Because you watch things very differently when you don't expect to see it. And you don't come into it with, like, I'm going to sit down and see if it's
unactive,
still
right.
any good. Or if it's... it was great. It stands up really well today.
That's great to hear. I didn't look it up. All right, so I'm interested in, like I said earlier, I feel like the music's very intimate. What drives you to create that kind of music? I mean, talk about your relationship with connection.
Oh, wow. It's one of the best questions I've ever been asked. Seriously. That's what it's about. And I feel like that's where you can keep from getting bored, is you can always go deeper. And that's what intimacy is about. I think with intimacy, it's not a finite thing. You can always, it may not be pleasant. It may not be what you want or expect, but there's always more layers in there and crevices to go into. And that's keeps it interesting for me. It's never boring.
You feel that. I mean, you feel like you're very, I don't want to say comfortable, but you're comfortable and you're also... aware that this is a very, not to overuse the word, but an intimate experience. Like, yeah. It feels like you're really connected to the music and to the music that you're producing. So how do you want your audience to interact with it or to receive that music?
Well, I love the idea that they can feel that connection, but they can interpret it totally their own way and make it their own. The lyrics, I think, are a big part of it all for me, and I usually start with the lyrics. And I feel like I'm telling stories, but I feel like they're open-ended enough to where the listener can feel something universal about the connection, but then can project their own particular details. And I think most art that I like works a bit like that.
You got back into acting with Louis C.K.
That's right.
Louis, the season where he meets his neighbor Amia from Hungary, who is only there for a month and doesn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great television because it doesn't play for jokes. It doesn't play for it's very Louis C.K. Just this week we were talking about Baskets, which is the other.
I haven't seen Baskets.
Same concept. I mean, Louis C.K. is all over it. It just feels like a show that is about what's happening in the jokes come later.
Right.
But what was that experience like for you? Because what I really liked about it was there was this unspoken interest in each other. And it really was more than we see a lot on television. It was about acting.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I never thought about this, but I felt like in that show, he also was sort of exploring this kind of the different layers of intimacy and connection and disconnection that we were just talking about in my music. So I actually felt very kinship with him in terms of how our creative drives work. I mean, I'm not trying to pompously say
you connected on the idea that this was exploring something. It wasn't just a scene and you go home. You were exploring something the way that you were trying to communicate without language, that kind of stuff.
Yes. And he actually tracked me down for this part. I mean, he didn't have to go very far to track me down because we were parents at the same school, so we saw each other nearly every day, but he approached me. I had some hesitation about doing it, mostly because I hadn't acted in a really long time. Funnily enough, I had been having thoughts about, wow, it would be curious to try that again. But I never started pursuing it. It was just one of those way back. And I think what inspired me is there's been a lot of great television around, and I've seen some incredible acting on television and it inspired me. So then when he approached me, I had hesitation about, okay, I wanted to try this again, but maybe not on a national television show, like starring in a six. Not sure I'm ready for that. I'm a little out of practice.
Like, can I stand in back of a Batman movie and just kind of pretend like I'm looking at the building?
Yeah. But then I had a meeting with him at his place, and we read the script. I mean, he had me read the script there with him, and I just thought it was brilliant. Like, I read that subway scene where he tells his daughters what to do in case. And then, do you remember that whole sequence? I'm not going to explain it, but all I'll say is when I read it, I was like, this is the same conversation I've had with my son a million times. This is too good. This is too real.
How much do, you know, and your music, your career, obviously the television program, Louis, but it all centers around, there's a lot to do with place. New York City is a big character in that. And your career, you've played a lot of different places. I know you have a relationship with, when I look for your stuff, there's a good relationship with the radio stations and the media in New York City. But what does it mean for you to be an artist in New York City?
I mean, I just think at this point, I have no choice but to own it. I'm just a New York. I think I'm really a New Yorker through and through, and it's a very strong component. Part of it is that past growing up in the theater, being exposed to a lot of different kinds of art and music at that time, and like when you talk about, you can't quite pigeonhole my music. I think it's very much informed by growing up in this time when there was room for a lot of different
and growing up and living in different decades. I mean, New York has seen a lot of change.
Exactly,
right?
But really, I came of age during a time when it was like just so many different genres were mingling together, and so many different mediums, filmmakers with writers, with musicians, and different kinds of musicians. And I think that really, and the aesthetic of the theater too, was a big component in shaping my overall aesthetic, I think.
As we've talked about in this interview, you've had two lives. You've acted, you've played music, you've created music. Can you see a life without music without acting in, like, could you move on to something else? I mean, let's say that tomorrow you're like, you know what? I'm a great painter, or I'm a great accountant. Can you live a life without the arts?
No. Definitely. Why? 100%. No way. It's just it. It's who I am. I mean, it's in my DNA. I can't even explain why. I can tell you that I've tried a little bit here and there, and I was even very skeptical and suspicious of my inclinations towards pursuing the arts. I thought, are you just doing this because you happen to be in it and you want to continue that lineage? And I'm old enough now to say with absolute conviction, no, this is really who I am. It's in my cells.
Esther Balint's new album is Airless Midnight. She's touring the Midwest now. She's got a show tonight at the Hideout, 10:15, as part of Simfest, New York City, raised Hungarian-born. Esther Balint, thanks for being my guest tonight on The Download.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.